The pain and the spurt of blood brought home to him with a dreadful clarity that they were likely to be utterly overwhelmed by the roaches if they didn't act swiftly.
Ah, fuck! Everyone get in line! Follow me! JB, you got the hat. You come last. The rest of you keep on knocking the scaly bastards off the guy in front. Let's move it!
For the rest of his life, Rand Carter would remember the ceaseless sound of the cockroaches being cracked apart under their feet as they walked steadily toward an uphill section of the passage. Ryan had glimpsed another closed metal sect door and built his plan around their being able to reach it, open it, and get through, and find no more roaches on the other side.
Keep going!
Christy was immediately behind him, batting the scrabbling horde off his wiry mat of black hair, beating them to the concrete floor. Lori, even as she wept, was performing the same service for Christy. Doc, half carrying her, was pushing next in line. Jack was just in front of the armorer, who was plucking the huge insects from the tangled skein of snowy hair, dropping them and splitting them under his boot heels. They reached the bottom of the slope, moving at a brisk walk. There seemed fewer of the massive roaches as they climbed upward. Ryan made the mistake of glancing at the dimly visible ceiling. At that precise moment, two of the revolting creatures came flopping onto his face. He distinctly felt the saw-edged mandible snap shut on the patch over his blinded left eye, while the other clawed at his lips, trying to wriggle into his half-open mouth. He dropped the G-12, letting it dangle from its sling, and tore at the glittering hard carapaces of the roaches. The light was less faint, and he could see the eyes on their wobbling stalks, rolling at him in the elongated skulls. The one on the upper part of his face was easily dislodged. Ryan heaved it against the wall, seeing it split open, the two halves trailing slime down the pale concrete. But the insect by his mouth was stronger and more persistent, and he feared it might pull off a chunk of his flesh if he tried to rip it from his face. On an impulse, Ryan opened his mouth wider, luring the roach to scrabble with its feelers, jutting its teeth toward the tempting target of the man's fleshy tongue. And then he snapped his teeth shut.
Oh, fuck!
Somewhere down in what used to be Alabama, Ryan had once rested in a field containing fresh, morning-cold celery. Now that same sensation came back to him. He spat out the severed head, feeling the body fall away, its legs twitching in a residual and belated state of panic. An acidic fluid burned Ryan's palate, and he spat several times to try to clear the bitter taste. He longed for a goblet of crystal water to rinse away the flavor. Christy shook her head at what he'd done.
Damn, lover.
Doc was the only other one in the group to have witnessed the muty insect's death throes. His lined face grew pale, and his eyes narrowed in revulsion.
Oh, by the three Kennedys. I think that I have never been so close to experiencing the notorious rainbow yawn.
The attacks eased, and they all managed to reach the top of the steepening slope, free of the scuttling creatures. One clung tenaciously to the back of JB's jacket, but Jack knocked it away and stamped on it, bursting the shiny body, leaving a smear of stinking slime. The evidence of earth shifting was less obvious in this section of the redoubt. There were more lights, and the walls and ceiling were solid and unmarked. They opened and closed the next steel-shuttered door, and passed through into a place where several passages came together. Christy operated the control lever, dropping the door shut behind them.
Looks like none of our insect friends have found their way into this section.
I'm hungry.
I too, surprisingly. And Ryan there looks as though he is about ready to devour another tender young roach.
That's not funny, old man.
Why, I thought so.
One of the genuine dangers in a building complex the size of most redoubts was of becoming lost, and possibly even starving to death. Many of the secret military bases had corridors that rambled, twined, and interconnected for miles. Fortunately, in the redoubts that had been hastily evacuated, there were generally plenty of colored maps of the "you are here" variety. Once they'd found the first of these locators, it was easy to work out their orientation and to seek out which sections of the Great Fortress had been damaged by the nukings. JB pointed at the section colored dark blue.
Main food stores were down where the roaches had taken over. And the Metrans gateway is down that long spur, marked off restricted. There. Looks like it's the lower western sections that slipped, by the main exits. Getting out of here could be kind of tough.
What's that?
Christy pointed at a section tinted light blue. It was marked cryo-restricted and lay at the northern edge of the complex, close to a set of emergency exits.
Cryo. Can't remember ever coming across that in any other redoubt. You seen it before, JB?
Nope.
It means freezing.
Freezing cold, Theophilus?
Yes, dear Lori.
Freezing what?
Not what. More like whom. Around the time I was given the big time push forward, there was a team trying to freeze folks just before or just after they died. The idea was that the future might have advanced medical methods that could cure whatever was killing them. Advanced. Ha!
Who'd they freeze, Doc?
The good, the bad, and the... I cannot seem to remember the last bit. The rich and the famous and the important. Mostly the rich and important. Politicians were tops because... Which reminds me. Ugly. That was it. The freezing units and the good, the bad, and the downright ugly.
I'd like to go see that cryo place.
Sure, JB. But first we go eat. And I could do with catching up on my sleep for a few hours.
Days.
Let's head for the living quarters, then.
'Tis carried unanimously, then. And we shall go on the morrow and see if any Icemen cometh. Not that they will. Not after all these years.
When they reached one of the four sections of living quarters, they found more evidence of the haste of the final evacuation of the huge redoubt. The long tables in the refectories had been cleared of all the residue of whatever had been the last ever meal. But there were several dropped knives and spoons on the floor, broken glass and plates telling their own tale of necessary haste. The dormitories were even more revealing. Beds were unmade, sheets and blankets piled in untidy heaps. Made of rot-proof polyplastics, they had already lasted 100 years and would probably last another 1,000. Each dormitory held around 200 beds, with partitions that ran from the door to within 8 inches of the ceiling. Each living space had a locker and small folding table. Ryan had no doubt that these long, hangar-like rooms would normally have been kept immaculate, inspected at least twice a day by persnickety noncoms, eager to seek out and punish any deviation from a perfect norm. But the events of those dark winter days in 2001 must have meant anything normal going by the board.
Phew. Lots of mags.
Jack flipped through a crumbling heap of brightly colored comics and periodicals. Most of them had names such as Small Arms Digest, Close Killing, and New War. It was no surprise to Ryan that JB immediately perched himself on the edge of one of the beds and began to flick through the weapon magazines. In Deathlands, it was unusual to find very much printed matter. It had been Ryan's observation that as many as 90% of the entire population, not counting muties, was functionally illiterate. Many vills had their own little news sheets run off on antique presses, while one or two of the wealthiest barons might have working hot metal presses. It was rare to find anything illustrated that had been printed since the long winters.
Look, lover.
Christy held out a frail tabloid, rejoicing in the name of The Weekly Probe. Its front pages carried several headlines of varying size. King Charles Starlet Bribe Divorce Scandal, said one. Sadly, someone had cut out the photo from the back page, which had run beneath a screaming headline, My breasts are like dried cantaloupes, but my hubby adores them.
Ugh, just touching stuff like that makes me feel kind of dirty. Hey, Ryan?
What?
How long since you had a bath?
Around about an